Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. When Harold Ramis died in 2014, he left behind millions of fans who cherished his work as an actor, writer, and director of comedy classics like Animal House, Caddyshack, Vacation, Groundhog Day, and Ghostbusters. His movies are filled with satire, original storytelling, and quotable lines. While working on the stage and on radio with The Second City and National Lampoon, Ramis performed alongside comedy icons like John Belushi, Bill Murray, Christopher Guest, Gilda Radner, and Joe Flaherty. In the late 1970s, Ramis left the SCTV television program to pursue a film career. He co-wrote The Raucous Animal House with National Lampoon magazine's Doug Kenny, beginning a string of films, many of which endure today. Among the millions of fans that miss Harold Ramis is his daughter, Violet Ramis Steele. As messages came to her from unknown fans of Harold after his death, Violet grew to realize how much he meant to people outside his personal circle. She decided to write Ghostbusters Daughter, Life with My Dad, Harold Ramis. It's a hilarious and heartwarming account of his life, his work, and his legacy, and his relationship with Violet. SDPB's Steve Zwemke connected with Violet Ramis Steele by phone last Wednesday.
I've always been kind of a pacifist. When I was a kid, my father told me, never hit anyone in anger unless you're absolutely sure you can get away with it. I don't know what kind of soldier I'm going to make, but I want you guys to know that if we ever get into real heavy combat, I'll be right behind you guys every step of the way.
After my dad died in 2014, there was just a huge outpouring of grief and love for him from friends and colleagues who knew him, but also from fans of his work who had never met him. I got amazing messages from total strangers, you know, telling me what an impact he had on their lives and how much his work meant to them. And, you know, everybody just wanted more of him, including me.
Yeah.
So this is sort of my way of giving that to myself and to the world.
Yeah, count me as one of those people, as we just spoke before we went live here this morning. For those of us familiar with your father's career, fans of his work, some of the material in your book may come as a surprise with respect to some aspects of his life, with marriage, drugs, things that made him kind of a free spirit, if you will. You detail that, but along with the loving and caring relationship he had for you, how important was it for the reader to see all sides of your father?
I thought it was really important. I mean, he sort of was very comfortable with himself. I mean, he had a lot of maybe seemingly contradicting elements, but he was a genuinely good and grounded and generous, kind person. And I think that the other stuff, you know, is part of it. And part of his sort of mantra in life is, you know, life is messy, embrace the ambiguity. So I really wanted to show that, you know, you can have good times and bad times, good qualities and bad qualities, and you can still be a great person.
Sure. Harold comes from the Second City in Chicago. What did he tell you about his development there during a time when the group was absolutely rich with talent?
Yeah, it was an amazing time in Second City for sure. I think they called his group sort of the next generation because, you know, they all had long hair. I believe it was, you know, in the late 60s. They were sort of a more radical version of the groups that had come before them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think he took that also when he went to the National Lampoon Radio Hour and then on to SCTV.
You were just a baby when SCTV was on television. Could you share maybe a favorite sketch or character of Harold's during his time with SCTV?
Yeah, I mean, I was born in Toronto while they were there making the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they used me in one of the commercials for baby wigs or tiny tops for bald babies. I have a big blonde Dolly Parton wig on.
Yeah.
I loved Mo Green, although as a kid I cried in one of the sketches when they sort of boot him off the station.
I remember that.
Yeah, but, you know, I loved seeing him on screen in all forms. And so, you know, it wasn't until I was older that I really appreciated the show for everything that it was, but I always loved seeing him.
Yeah, if you'll indulge me for a second, I think my favorite sketch was Clog. Do you remember Clog?
Yeah.
He was, I think, a Swedish police officer that wore wooden shoes. And I remember the scene. It's stop or I'll shoo. And he kicks and his shoe comes flying off and hits the felon in the back of the head. It's sketches like that. And it's like, you know, it's a Harold Ramis sketch. Just you can tell, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely had a silliness, but there was always sort of an underlying intelligence, I feel, to the work that he was doing.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is! Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Oh, this is the worst looking hat I ever saw. Well, you buy a hat like this, I'll bet you get a free bowl of soup, huh? Oh, it looks good on you, though.
Mr. Dorfman.
Hello.
0.2. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
I'm gonna walk out of here a lean, mean, fighting machine.
You know, I never really thought about it until I read your book, but the work of your father really had an impact on my sense of humor and, to a mentionable degree, the person I am today. I'm certainly one of those who quotes lines from his movies ad nauseum. Does that describe you to a degree as well?
I mean, yeah, I'm a fan for sure. But, you know, I think that I had a little different perspective because I was so immersed in it. So, you know, I needed something to rebel against. So even with Ghostbusters, I was like, yeah, it's okay. you know, while all of my friends were going crazy.
Are there any lines that you actually quote today, just kind of out of habit?
I mean, he and I used to always, you know, sort of make fun of each other as parents, you know, with quoting lines from Vacation. Or perhaps you don't want to see the world's second largest ball of twine, which is only 4 short hours away. You know, but I think that there are things in all his movies. I mean, he put a lot of himself into his work. So I love watching them because I just see these little flashes of him that come out, and it's really great.
You were on the sets a lot of times during these movies, and I was surprised to read that I think you were about 2 years old at the time during Caddyshack. Is that right?
Yeah.
And you even have memories of being on the set at 2 years old.
I do. I mean, my mother was an obsessive sort of documenter, so we have thousands of photos and, you know, hours of home movies, and we would watch them often, and they would tell me stories, and so, you know, I do remember, and my memories are also supported by all of this other sort of artifacts that we have.
Was your relationship with your father any different during the time on the set as it was at home? Or was it just maybe a little different because just the number of people that were there?
Yeah, there were a lot of people around, but he was always pretty good at the work-life balance.
Sure.
His movie sets, you know, everybody said were the most sort of pleasant to be on. You know, he wanted to finish early so people could get home to their families. You know, he got the work done, but he was a family man, and everybody knew it. So he was fine with me, you know, sitting on his lap in the director's chair. And, you know, he did that also with, you know, with his other children as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, was an actor, a director, a writer. What did he enjoy most out of those three?
I think that writing and directing, you know, were his favorites. At least those were the things that he, you know, ended up doing the most of. He liked acting. He was good at it. You know, he was charming. But I don't think that he felt as comfortable in front of the camera as behind.
One of the things I really enjoyed about your book were the photos of the letters that he had written to people. You get the genuine warmth. You get the genuine feeling of the love he had for people, you know, the people he was around, his colleagues, his friends. And you get that from reading the book, too. I mean, am I kind of right? And that's just the way he was with people all the time?
He was. He was really warm. I think I described him before, you know, as a campfire that everyone sort of gathered around for wisdom and light and warmth. And he was that always. And I think, you know, I really wanted to include those things to show, you know, me just saying it is not going to tell you, but seeing it coming from him, you know. was important.
Yeah. Were there other people that he worked with, whether they're actors or people behind the scenes, that you spent time with on these sets that served maybe even like a mother or father figure?
I think not so much as a mother or father figure, but definitely, you know, crazy aunts and uncles.
Sure.
you know, from all the SCTV people, Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara, you know, Gilda Radner, Doug Kenny. I mean, Bill Murray is my godfather.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these were the people I grew up around, and there was a lot of laughter, and they were really fun and nice, and it was kind of like a comedy circus.
Here it is.
Ah!
It's no big deal.
Ah!
Bill Murray, as you said, is your godfather. Would you tell the story of your father's relationship with Bill and how that progressed over the years?
I mean, I share everything I know in the book. You know, they were close starting in Chicago during the Second City days. My dad actually met Bill's older brother, Brian, first, and yeah. They were friends. And then, you know, they had this great working relationship for many years, and they created a lot of wonderful things together. And, you know, they did have a falling out after Groundhog Day, and they didn't speak for many years, but, you know, when my dad was sick, soon before he died, you know, they were able to get together and make their peace.
What are your favorite works of your father, whether it be television or movies? Do you have anything that just really stands out as being a favorite? Or I imagine you love everything.
I do. I mean, he always said, oh, you can't ask me to pick my favorite movie. That's like picking my favorite child.
Yeah.
You know, there are things about all of them that I really love because they came from his heart.
You shared your father with the world, much different than most of us, you know, in our lives. What was that like?
I mean, so far so good. It, you know, I think, I just wanted to capture, you know, some elements of what he was, what he meant to me,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, through his work, what he meant to everyone. And, you know, he was a wise man, so I just wanted to give that, you know, to let that spread as far as it could.
Yeah. Violet Ramis Steele is our guest right now, and her book is Ghostbusters' Daughter, Life with My Dad, Harold Ramis. And we're visiting about Harold's life and about Violet's relationship with her dad. How did your relationship with Harold shape you as a mother?
I mean, he was a very involved and loving father. You know, like I mentioned earlier, you know, my mom didn't really take to motherhood. I mean, she's a fascinating, wonderful woman, but she was not interested in sort of the nuts and bolts of raising a child. And my dad was really present and there, and he made everything fun, and, you know, he taught me as much as he could and tried to guide me, and he was supportive even when he didn't necessarily agree with, you know, choices I was making. And that really, you know, his non-judgmental approach really allowed us to remain close through everything.
It's interesting, too, when you look at the films and projects your dad worked on, there's this circle of people, and you can tell that they genuinely love each other's work, have an appreciation for each other's work, because they keep appearing in each other's films and things like that. Eugene Levy, Rick Moranis,
yeah.
Bill Murray. Talk about that circle that he was in and the energy and just the love they had for each other.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they were, you know, creating something really new, and there was an excitement in the air, and they were all, you know, interested in sort of doing the same thing and turning these old tropes on their head. You know, my dad and Doug really adored each other. Doug was very smart, and, you know, my dad really appreciated that, and they sort of balanced each other out really well. And same with Bill. I mean, my dad, like I said, was very grounded, you know, sort of stuck to the path, and that allowed Bill to run around like a maniac. and that was great.
When you look at me, do you not think at all, like, oh, if he just never existed, I would have avoided a massive heap of trouble, you know?
Absolutely not. I love you totally and completely. You're the best thing that ever happened to me.
I'm the best thing that ever happened to you?
Yeah.
Now I just feel bad for you.
Interesting is that Seth Rogen wrote a foreword for your book, and it's so much different than any foreword I've ever read in my life. I'm, it's very short, but it's to the heart. It's really concise, and just talk about that for a minute and what that meant to you to have him do that.
Yeah, it was so wonderful. I mean, the support that, you know, people have given to this book has been really great. I think, you know, Seth and Judd Apatow, you know, my dad sort of felt like they were his comedy sons in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, was always very generous and happy to talk with them and share his experiences and insights. And so I think, you know, they had just a lot of love and affection for him. And, you know, I'm lucky enough to receive some of that, you know, for this book. And I really, really appreciate it.
What has writing this book done for you personally? Has it served a purpose other than telling the story of Harold Ramis and your life with the Ghostbuster?
I mean, it's definitely a story that I wanted to tell, and I think that, you know, that people can benefit from and, you know, will enjoy hearing about. But yes, for me personally, it was great to just be able to spend all this time with my dad in a way. You know, luckily he left a lot of himself behind in his work. There are interviews and videos on YouTube, and I just really enjoyed sort of diving into his thoughts in that way.
Thank you for writing the book. I mean, it, like you said, it's great for fans that wanted a little more, and it's now out there, and it's out there for Father's Day.
Yeah.
SDPB Steve Zwemke visited with Violet Ramis Steele last Wednesday by phone. Steele's new book, Ghostbusters' Daughter, Life with My Dad, Harold Ramis, was released in May by Blue Rider Press, a division of Penguin Random House. We'll take a break. We talk about South Dakota Rodeo on the other side. Stay in the moment. Listener-supported SDPB Radio.